I'm good?
Yes.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very much. Thank you. So before I start, and I'll start all over again, but before I start, let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do come before you. Thanking you, Father, for this day, Lord. Thanking you for, even though it's a little warm outside, Father, for some, Lord, we thank you for it because we know the snow is going to come. So, Father, we thank you for the warmth that we are getting. Father, we pray for those folks in Ecuador, Father, this earthquake was. Lord, all those lives, Father, that was lost, but Father, also the lives that were saved and that was rescued, Father. And they're still finding people alive. Lord, it's a blessing. I know it happened last week, and time has went by, but Father, we just pray, Father, that they find more people alive. And I pray, Father, that they will give you the honor and give you the glory, because it's because of you, Father, that they are still breathing. So, Father, we also pray now for this time that you've given us to get together and fellowship around your word and fellowship, Father, one with each other. I just pray, Father, that you use me at this time, Father, to present your word, Father, that you have given to me. I just pray, Father, you bring things to remembrance, Lord, that I need to remember, Father, because, again, we are aging and we don't remember everything. But, Father, we know that you will give us the thing that we need at that time. So now, bless now those that hear, Father, the hearers, and those also, Father, that will be watching this online. For this I say and ask in Jesus' name, amen. See, if I could sing, I would sing a song, but I can't sing. So we're going to get into this, there's no fool like an old fool. We're going to read Solomon these four verses and go to some scriptures to show why Solomon, we don't have to even go there. Solomon is about to retire, as some folks will say. His son is about to take over. He's about to retire. God let him write Ecclesiastes for you and I, for himself, but basically for also for you and I, because we can learn from Solomon. God wants us to learn from Solomon, and you'll see why. The Bible says in verse 13, better is a poor and wise child than an old foolish king who will no more be admonished. An old foolish king who will no more be admonished. Now, again, I say the majority of us in here are aging. I'm not calling you old or anything. I'm just saying we are aging, and we don't want to be foolish in our age. God wants us to be wise. So Solomon even says it's better if you even poor and wise than to be old and foolish. But what got me in this verse was, he says, who will no more be admonished? At a point in his time, Solomon became old and foolish at a point of time. But it's not the end of the story. this is not the end of the story. But he became old and foolish. And there's a reason for that. And there's a reason why I say, work for the grace of God, there goes I. See, because of God's grace and of his mercy. I'm very thankful for God's grace and mercy. But if it wasn't for God's grace, there go I.
Yes, right.
You can become foolish. You can become foolish. You'll see some of these verses of scripture that I go to. And the first one we're going to go to, we go to 1 Kings. Solomon, the wisest man ever was. I'm sorry. 1 Kings chapter 3. The wisest man ever was. God blessed him immensely. God bless Solomon, because Solomon, his father David, is about to go to sleep. He's about to die. And his father David charge gives Solomon a charge. God's going to give him a charge as well, but David gives his son a charge, a good charge. 1 Kings. Chapter 3. But stay there. I'm going to read, David. You stay in 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm just going to 1 Kings chapter 2 to read the charge that David gave to his son. It's only a page over. 1 Kings chapter 2, David gave a charge to his son. Now, the days of David drew nigh that he would die. He charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Walk in his ways to keep his statute, his commandment, his judgment, his testimony, as it is written in the law of Moses, and thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whatsoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if the children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all thy heart and with all thy soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. That was David's charge to his son, to walk, in the way of his God. Strong charge, good charge. God gives, chapter 3, God gives Solomon a charge too, because Solomon needed help. He needed help in ways that sometimes we need help, and we need to go to him when we need help. It's good to go to your neighbors, to your friend, but go to him. Solomon need help. His request in let's go to verse 9. We're gonna start in verse 9. His request. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Solomon want from God a heart that was understanding, because why? He has to rule and govern all of Israel. And it's a lot of people. And so he said, God, give me an understanding heart. That impressed God. That impressed God, and he said, hey, he said, what you want? What you need? He didn't say gold, he didn't say silver, he didn't say all this wealth that he did get, but he said, give me a heart that is understanding. Give me an understanding heart. God wants all of us to have an understanding heart. God wants all of us to be wise. So in verse 12, in the same chapter, chapter 3, God says, behold, I've done according to thy words. I've given thee a wise and understanding heart. He didn't give God Solomon just a heart. He said, I've given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before, neither shall there be arise like unto thee. There was no one like Solomon when God gives him this wise and understanding heart. There was no one before him. Not even his father, even the man after God's own heart. And there was no one after him. God gives him a wise and understanding heart. That's what we need. We need, because God wants us to be wise. We need a wise and understanding heart. God will give you, everything we got anyway comes from God. So if we go to God like Solomon did, Solomon says, because of all your people I have to judge, could you please give me an understanding heart? Because, see, I got to govern these people, and as you continue to read the Bible, you'll see people don't know the right hand from the left hand. And people don't know right from wrong. Because you got to judge these people because they don't know the left from the right or right and wrong. We know that today. We can see with our own eyes today what they call right, wrong, and wrong, right. Good, evil, and evil, good. So Solomon said, I need an understanding heart because I'm going to have to judge your people. God says, I'm going to do what you ask, but I'm going to give you more than what you ask. More. But look what God says in 1 Kings 3. Let's go down a couple of verses, 12 through 14. He said, behold, I've done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so there's none like thee before thee, neither shall there be a rise after thee. 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches, honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. But verse 14 is the verse. See, verse 14 says, if thou wilt walk in my ways, keep my statute and my commandment at David's, as David thy father did, walk in them, I will even lengthen your days. God say, hey, you have to keep my statute. You have to keep my laws. You have to walk in my ways. And I will lengthen you even your days if you do these things. Solomon, the verse we read in, you don't have to turn there now. We go back to it, but you don't have to turn there first in Ecclesiastes 4:13. He says, it's better to be a poor and wise child than an old foolish king who would not, that's what got me when he said, who would not be admonished. Something happened. Something happened to this wise man, the wisest man ever was. Something happened to him. That's why I started with, there go I, except for the grace of God. Something happened, and we're going to see what happened in 1 Kings. Chapter 11. We're going to see the downfall of Solomon, which could be any of us. Now, because we are, like I said, he's older. He's, I'm sorry to use the word older, but he is aged. He is aged. And he's Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11. You're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read all the way down to verse 11, 9. But we're going to start in verse 1 and see what happened to this great man of God. This great man of God had a problem. I mean, you know, we all have problem, but this great man of God had a problem. You see, all he had to do was keep God's law, keep the statute, walk in God. That's what God admonished him. His father did also. Solomon had a problem, you see. Verse 1 in chapter 11. The first line says, but Solomon loved many, not one, many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, these different tribes, the Amorites, the Edomites, the Zidonianites, the Hittites, of nation concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not, said unto the children of Israel, and he's the king, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come unto you. For surely, this is what happened to him. This is what happened to him. For surely they will turn away your heart from their gods. And Solomon craved unto these he loved. He said, these people are going to turn your heart away from me. These people will turn your heart away from me. You shall not go unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon craved unto these in love. And as you can see, 700 wise, 300 concubines, and his wife turned his heart away. This wisest man that ever walked the face of earth, he's going to become an idol worshiper. King Solomon, the ruler of Israel, the wisest man ever was, he become an idol worshiper. How can this be? How can this be? This great man of God, again, he's the king, becomes idol worship. Because why? He didn't take heed to what his father told him, and he did not take heed to what God told him. And well, I'm telling you, sin is a three-letter word, but sin is powerful. Sin is powerful. Verse 4 said, for it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wife turned his heart away after other God, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. And this next verse. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went fully after the Lord as did David's father, and went not fully after the Lord as David his father did. He went fully after those other gods. He becomes an idol worshiper. Something happened, and where did it happen? It did not happen up here. I mean, it didn't happen in his brains, his knowledge, his mind. No, it happened here. You see, God always looks here. It's happened in his heart. His heart was turned away from God, and he started serving other gods. I mean, you would say, that can't be. God told him. His father told him. And he did evil. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. I mean, this guy. Then did Solomon build a high place for the Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice. He even did sacrifice unto their God. Now, you would think God would just, bam, struck him down dead. I mean, hey, look what he's doing. I mean, he is actually doing worse as Saul did. But see, God made a promise. That's another reason why I love the Lord. God made a promise to David, his father, and he made a promise to Saul. I'm not going to do to him what I did to Saul. I'm not. They're going to fall on his son. Because I made a promise. Not me, but God made a promise. God says, I'm not going to do to him what I did to Saul, but it will fall on his son. This man, who's the wisest man that ever lived. When you don't take heed to the word of God, if you don't do what God tells you to do, there go I, except for the grace of God. Verse 9 said, and the Lord was angry. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel. See, this next phrase, and catch this next. I mean, when you read the Bible, you should. You can read it fast if you want to, but read it slow. Catch this next phrase in verse 9. It says, which appeared unto him twice. So, I mean, God did not leave him alone when Solomon started going down the wrong path. God did not leave him alone because why? God loves him. God loves his father. God don't leave us alone when we stumble and fall. Or we even look like we're going to stumble and fall. He keeps us upright. Anyway, he keeps us upright. So God came twice before to Solomon and had commanded him, saying this thing, verse 10, that he should not go after other God. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. He came to him twice before. This is the third time. And the Bible says, Solomon kept not which the Lord commanded. This wise man, the wisest man ever walked the earth, coming out of Washington, because of his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. Turn with me back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Now we, or I, come up with maybe Solomon is writing this book of Ecclesiastes. Because remember, he wrote the Song of Solomon. He wrote the Song of Solomon, and he wrote Proverbs. I mean, what books that he wrote? And then he comes and writes this book, Ecclesiastes, because Ecclesiastes is what? Vanity of vanity, all for naught. Solomon understand and realize all those things that he did was without God, it's all for naught. Anything that you do, if you don't do it as unto the Lord, you see, it's all for naught. It's all for naught. I don't care how it makes you feel, puffs you up. The Bible says, and Solomon knows, because again, he's the wisest man. It's all for naught. It's not going to last. So I say he wrote this book because it's me now. He wrote this book because he's expressing his regrets. Solomon is expressing in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanity. He is expressing his regrets and his folly and his waste of time due to carnality and idolatry. Becoming arbitrary. He's expressing he regrets this because if you go take the Bible and turn to the last chapter 12, you'll see what he says. You'll see what the man says. But there's a time, plenty of time where he fell into idolatry worshiper. He's become an idol worshiper. God again wants us to be wise. He wants all of us to be wise. He wants us to have wisdom, but our wisdom should come from up there and not from down here, because there's a heavenly wisdom and there's an earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom, see, people come to their own conclusion when they do earthly, when they do a earthly wisdom when they're serving, when they are solving a problem or when they're solving something. They don't go to God. God's people need to go to God for everything, no matter what it is. We need to go to Him. The earth ain't got, it's not even our home. We just here for a little while. And then we are gone. Wisdom, which God wants us to have, is knowledge, things that we know or we need to know, guided by understanding. There's some people in the New Testament that was old. I'm sorry, that was aged. They had knowledge. They had knowledge. They the one had all the Old Testament. Knowledge wasn't their problem. Knowledge wasn't their problem. Probably two or three Sunday ago, the pastor was preaching and he mentioned about Jesus Christ at the age of 12 left his parents and went into the synagogue to sit down with those people who were the leaders of the day. You know, he sat down, he asked questions, he answered questions. And I don't think Christ was dumb that he needed to, but he just wanted to see where those folks are at. He was 12 years old. And then when he really started doing his work, his ministry at the age of 30, and he comes back in there and he told those same folks, and he told them, he says, I am. We got to kill this guy. They have all the knowledge. They know who he was. And yet, they wanted to kill him. So knowledge is not the problem. No understanding. They had the Old Testament. And you trying to tell me they didn't know? They know that Christ was coming. God said, I'm gonna come down and teach you myself. They know he was coming. And he came and they wanted to kill him. No understanding. You see, knowledge with no understanding. I mentioned that wisdom come from above. So if we're gonna talk about Genesis chapter 41, and wisdom do come from above. We're gonna see how this young man, Genesis 41, verse 14 and 16. This is Joseph. In prison. He's in prison. And Pharaoh heard that there's somebody down there that can help me. There's someone down there that can do something for me. Send for him. So he sent for Joseph. Verse 14, we will start reading. The Bible said, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him hastily up out of the dungeon, shaved him, and he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I had a dream that there's none that can interpret it. And I've heard say that thee that thou can't understand a dream and the interpretation of it. Now look at Joseph's reply. Look at his reply. He says, verse 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, hey, it is not in me. God should give Pharaoh an answer to peace. See, God gets the glory. He said, God's going to give you peace. I mean, see, when God does something for us, we need to say, hey, God did it. If you had the strength to do it, where'd your strength come from? Your strength come from God. God did it. You see, he's the deserver of the gifts of the glory, not you and I. I don't need pats on my back. I seriously, I do not need pat on my back. Don't pat me on my back. Because it might remember, there go I, except for the grace of God. It might affect me somewhere. Somebody say, hey, you did good. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You know, my head might swallow. Something might happen. You see? So hey, him, God's get the glory. Joseph did it just right. Exodus. This is the next book over. Exodus 31. We would see again. Almighty God at work. I mean, you. Chapter 3, Exodus 31, chapter 3. The Bible says, and I, God's speaking. God says, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in what? In wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and all manner of workmanship. They are fixing to build something, do something for the Lord. And they don't know. Come on. So God said, guess what? I'm going to fill them. I'm going to give them wisdom. I'm going to give them knowledge. I'm going to give them understanding. I'm going to give them everything that they need to do this. God, I mean, God is... Wisdom come from above. Couple of chapters over, 36. The Bible says, 36 verse 1, the Bible says, then wrought Belzeel, I'm messing up the name, God forgive me, Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. God said, look, you don't have to worry about, because you don't know that, not a problem. You never saw this before, that's not a problem. You never done this before, no problem. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to fill you with wisdom. I'm going to put wisdom in your heart, and you're going to do the work. See, I'm going to do it for you. God does everything for us. He does everything for us. Now, these next, Deuteronomy, wisdom is important because God wants us to be wise. But wisdom come from above. Wisdom come from above. Deuteronomy 4. Show you why wisdom is important. Deuteronomy 4, starting verse 1. Bible says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statute and unto the judgment which I teach you to do them. It's good to know, and we need to know, but the Bible wants us to do them. God wants us to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord thy God of our father giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God, destroy them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment. I have taught you statute and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. Hearing them is good, and you need to. You need to know them, but to do them. He said, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom, your understanding in the sight of nation, which shall hear of these things and say, surely, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. See, we know it, we hear it, but then do them. Do them. God is admonishing us to do them. He wants us to do them. Again, wisdom comes from up there, come from God. God gives us wisdom. If you don't have it, he said, ask for it, and he will give it to us. Daniel. Take your Bibles, turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. A couple of verses of scripture we're going to read. We will start in verse 19. Daniel 2, verse 19. The Bible said, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Wisdom and might are his. And he charged, and he changes the times and the season, God does. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. That's why God wants us to be wise. The Bible says, he said, the Bible says, as it's saying, be wise as an owl. And be wise as an owl. Be wise as a serpent. God wants us to be wise. I can't come up with that saying, but he wants us to be wise. Understanding. Wisdom is knowledge guided by understanding. I mentioned earlier, those folks in the New Testament, they had all the whole Testament. They didn't have no understanding. They had knowledge, but knowledge is not just the answer. They didn't have any understanding at all. At all. I will be, turn to Psalms. Psalms is one of my favorite books. Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119, verse 97. Psalms 119, 97. The Bible says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy communion hast made me wiser than my enemy, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimony are my meditation. I understand more than the ancient, because why? I keep thy precept. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have departed from the ungodly, for thou hast taught me how sweet are the words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though thy, through thy precept, I get understanding. Therefore, he says, I hate every false way. Psalms 119. Just turn your page over. 130. The interest of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. I'm simple. It giveth understanding to the simple. That's why it's important. That's why it's important we meditate on the word of God. We read the word of God. We study the word of God. So that God's words, as verse 130 says, give us light. It give us understanding as well. And we need understanding. If you don't have understanding, you become a foolish person. You do foolish things because you don't have no understanding. And again, all has come from above. God has given us everything. See, he has given us everything. He given us his son, Jesus Christ, to die so that we wouldn't have to die. He given us his son. He given us the Holy Spirit, not only to comfort us, but to teach us and to help us, instruct us and convict us. And also he preserved this for you and I. He preserved his word for, he has given us everything that you and I need. Turn to the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. And I mentioned this before. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that he giveth to all men liberally, unbraided not, and it shall be given him. If any of us lack wisdom, we need to go ask God. God's just waiting so that he can just pour out his wisdom. He ain't going to run out of wisdom. He got more wisdom for you and I. So we go to him and ask him. And since you're already there in James, turn to chapter 3. Since you're already there, chapter 3. The Bible says, who is a wise man and endure with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness and wisdom. But if you be bitter, envying, and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly. Remember, I mentioned the two types of wisdom before. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, first is pure. Bible says it's pure wisdom. It's pure. Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and with the fruit of righteousness as sown in peace of them that make peace. Full, the Bible says, God is merciful to you and I. We need to show mercy to others. We need to be merciful to others. We don't hold back the truth from someone because it might affect them in a different way or might even hurt them. as they will look at it. We have to share the truth of God's word. We can't tell people things just to make them feel good. You know, somebody was saying, you have to give them, if you love them, you have to give them the truth. We must give them the truth. And again, sometimes they say, what, the truth hurt. Yeah. We have to share with people the truth. I have a couple of more verses to go to. Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll sit down. Hebrews chapter 4. Go down to verse 12. Verses, scripture that we're familiar with. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow. The last phrase again. And a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There's a lot of people don't have no concern, don't have no discernment at all. And they probably don't know what it is. The Bible, you and I, because we are in Christ, those of who are in Christ, we have discernment because we have the word of God. We can discern. I know people say you're supposed to judge people. People say, don't you judge me? But we do. We do judge people. But what we judge them, we don't judge them because we don't like them. We don't judge them because we mean to them. You have to judge them according to what the word of God says. But we do judge. I'll put it this way. I do judge. Because if you're wrong, you're wrong. But you're supposed to love me, but you're wrong. I do love you, but you're still wrong. I'm not going to give up the truth so to make you feel better, even to make you like me. Do not care if you don't like me, you see. You don't have to like me. He loves me. He loves me. How do I know? For the Bible tells me so. You see, he loves me. Two more verses. Philippians chapter 1. And I'll sit down. Philippians chapter 1, you're going to go down to verse 9 and verse 10. The Bible says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ come. We got the Bible. You see, we can tell folks, sir, ma'am, what you're doing is wrong. The answer is you need Jesus. That's what the answer is. Because Jesus is the answer to everything. You need Jesus. And the reason why you need Jesus is because you need to be born again. You see, your problem is you need to be born again. People talking about, well, you know, they got this program that we can do. No. People need Jesus. And when I say you need Jesus, I'm saying they need to be born again. See, that church, that, no, they need Jesus. They have to get born again first so that God begins to work in a person. Because when you are born again, God comes in and he starts working. The minute that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God comes in and he starts a beautiful work, the Bible says, in you. He changes you. And a lot of people can't change you. God changes you. What a change. What a change it is when God changes you. First John chapter 4, and I'll be done. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out in the world. Lots of them. I mean, the thousand of them. They're out there. Hereby know you the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Wherefore, we have heard that it should come. And even now is already in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Be wise. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome them because why? Greater is he that God the Holy Spirit indwells you. Let him do the work for you. Let him do the work for me. He's working in me. Why? To conform me to the image of his son. God can do that. You see, we got to let God do that. Because if we try to do it, we will mess up. There's many false preachers out there. I wouldn't call them pastors. They're preachers because my Bible said God chooses pastors after his heart. And we got a lot out there that if that's God's heart, then we must be tripping around God. Those folks don't know nothing. I'm sorry. They do have knowledge. They do have knowledge, but they don't have no understanding. They have their knowledge surpassed my knowledge, but they have no understanding. No understanding. All that knowledge, but yet no understanding to the word of God. God wants us to be wise. See, our wisdom comes from above, not from man. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Father, for this opportunity to stand up here and say, thus says the Lord. Father, I pray that you will take the word of God and not only let it settle in our heads, our mind, but Father, that it goes down to our heart. For again, you encourage us. You want us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. And Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit once again that helps me, guides me, strengthens me, and convicts me. I pray, Father, that I be obedient to your Holy Spirit so that I can continue to conform me to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. For I say and ask these things in his name, amen.